Well, I'm going to start by showing you some things that we normally see on Christmas Day. And I want you to see if you can work out what the link is between us. Can I have some little people, perhaps, just to hold them up? Yes, come along. Oh, Oakley, you're always up for a laugh. Good lad. Anyone else? Yes. Adam, well done. Anyone else? Any other little, come on, boys. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so what you're going to have to do is work out the link between these, okay? So, Oakley, you can hold that for me. Yes. There you go. Good lad. Oh, there you go, Adam. What have we got here? There you go. Good lad, to Jacob and Dylan. And then I'm going to put that there. Good. And then I've got something I've always wanted to bring to church. It's a rubber chicken. It was meant to be a turkey, but that's in the oven at the moment. So can anyone guess? I love it. It even squeaks. Can anyone guess what the link between... what have we got here?
A present.
A massive Christmas present. And
a stocking.
And
a rubbish bag.
And a...
newspaper.
Come on, a bit more specific. It's more kind of a TV Times. That's there. Yeah, yeah. What's this? Can anyone put their hand up and tell me what this is? It's an arrow. Yes, well done. It's an arrow pointing to what?
The floor.
Not the floor. No.
Stage.
Savannah. The paper. Not quite. No. It's not pointing to the paper, which is a Radio Times. A full belly, yes. So can anyone tell me what the link is between my rubber chicken, or my turkey, Christmas turkey, present, stockings, bin, TV Times, and belly? What's the link? Christmas, oh, that's a bit obvious, isn't it? No, let's go a bit more specific. Santa? Really? Oh, we could do that. If you're wrong, I'm going to squeak my chicken at you. Come on. What's big fun? We all like them. Yes, I'll give you a little squeak for that. It's not quite the answer I'm looking for. The link is, should I tell you? Are you dying to know? You'll love it. The link is, they're all full. Ah, all together now. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Well, boys, you can sit down. You can sit down. Yes, so we've got Christmas stocking, tummies, TV schedule, presents, bins, my Christmas turkey. Guys, you can put them down and go sit down. Well done. They all come at Christmas and they are all full or get filled. So when we look at Christmas, actually one thing we realize, and one thing that actually we see, is how full Christmas is. There's much to be thankful for, and these good things remind us of God's goodness to us. Now, I have to be honest, I realize that for many of us, Christmas does have difficult memories, and I have to acknowledge that for some, might be the first Christmas you're spending Christmas without a loved one. It might be that this is a Christmas where someone you love is ill or absent. It might be that your Christmas is not as full as it once was, or that you're worried about something, or that Christmas might feel painful this year. But can I just say, and I'm going to kick off our service with this, however full our Christmas is this year, I want us to consider this morning why fullness is important to Christmas. And we're going to look at a passage this morning that's all about the fullness of Jesus and why that has such good news for us. However we are feeling this morning, whatever is on our minds, actually we're going to look at fullness, particularly the fullness of Jesus this Christmas. So we're going to start. We're going to start by singing a wonderful Christmas carol. And it tells us to listen to what the angels are singing about, because their news is good news for all people. So we're going to stand and sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand together. Do you know, sometimes we think of Jesus at Christmas, We think of him as being a tiny, vulnerable baby lying asleep in a manger. And in one sense, that's a right thought of him. But at the same time, I'm going to read to you from the Bible this morning, which tells us something that was going on with Jesus in that manger at the same time. It's what from Colossians, a book in the Bible called Colossians, and it's chapter 1, and it's verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And it says this. You ready? And you've got to have in mind Jesus in the manger. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether on thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. As I said earlier, this morning we are going to look at these two things, at two things that Jesus was full of. And in a second I'm going to explain those, but we're going to sing a bit more of a children's carol now. And it's about joining the celebration, because as we've said this morning, Christmas is full, and Jesus particularly was full when he was born. And we're going to look at those two things in a minute, but we're going to celebrate the fullness of Christmas now. Let's stand and sing, "Come and Join the Celebration." So the first thing I want us to just spend a little bit of time thinking about is that Jesus, when he was born, was fully God. Fully God. Now, just to help us get our heads around this passage, we have to realize it was written because there were loads of false teachers going around and telling people that Jesus was lesser than he is. So Colossians, in that book of the Bible that we were reading, there's a little bit that says, actually, you know, some people are telling you that Jesus was just an angel. Well, that's wrong. That's totally wrong. And so he writes this to help the readers say, okay, let me get my head around the fullness of Jesus. And he writes it to say Jesus was fully God. And you know, in our modern world, whether we're at school or uni or in the workplace, actually our culture, everyday people we meet, are giving us that impression that Jesus cannot be God because he's not very important to us. Our modern culture tells us that in comparison to our busy lives, Jesus really doesn't have power, doesn't have authority. But you know, the first bit of our passage that I read earlier tells us something completely different. It says the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Can you think about that as Jesus was lying in the manger? Now, let me be clear. It's not talking about family likeness. There's no sense in which the Bible talks of Jesus as just having God's attributes that make him look more like God than we do. That's not what this verse is saying. No, this verse tells us that Jesus is not just in the image of God, like a painting. No, but he's the perfect representation of God in human form. I'll say that again. The perfect representation of God in a human being. He's not some kind of lesser person than God. No, when Jesus came to this earth, meeting him was like meeting God face to face. That's how full of God Jesus is. And that is mind-blowing, particularly when you consider that Jesus at one point in his life was just a couple of hours old. He was tiny. He was shriveled. Babies are often blue when they're two hours old. That was Jesus. He was in pain. He was crying for his mother's breast. And at the same time, this is what was true of Jesus when he was born. For in him, all things were created. Things in heaven and things on earth. Things visible and things invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, at the same time as needing his sleep, at the same time as being cradled by the shepherds or rocked to sleep by Joseph, at the same time as listening to his mother's lullabies, the baby Jesus was sustaining the heart of King Herod the Great, and even greater than him, Emperor Augustus Caesar. He was giving life to the camels that were carrying the wise men to see him. He was sending the rains that would bring the harvest to feed the nations. He was preparing the hearts of his disciples to tell people about him. That is very true of the very Son of God in his mother's arms. And it's rammed home again in verse 19 of our passage. It says this: "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." Jesus was full of God. He was a perfect representation of God in human form. Now, I've got a bit of a true or false question to ask. Put your hand up, and this is related, I promise. Put your hand up if you think it's true that Father Christmas has ever been in jail. Okay, put your hand up if it's false. Oh, come on. Work with me. Let me do this again. Okay, are you ready? Let's shake our hands out. Let's stop the whole kind of British. Okay, are you ready? Shake them out. Put your hand up if you think it's true. Lovely. Put your hand up if you think it's false. Thank you. Well, the truths have it, I'm afraid. It is true. Father Christmas has been in jail. So in the year 325 AD, it's a long time ago, boys and girls, there was a massive gathering of worldwide Christian leaders to debate the question, is Jesus God? It was called the Council of Nicaea for the technical people here. A man called St. Nicholas was also there, and that's the person that Father Christmas is based upon. During that meeting, one bishop called Arius stood up, and he was from northern Egypt, he stood up and he was arguing that Jesus wasn't God, but only like an ambassador from God. And St. Nick was getting so wound up that he eventually stood up in the middle of Arius' speech, walked across the room and punched Arius to the floor. At which point the emperor, Constantine, who was sat there kind of with this meeting, he kind of said, okay, Nick, that's it, to jail. And he got his soldiers and sent him to jail. Yes, so it's true. St. Nick, who we now call Father Christmas, was once jailed for violent misconduct. However, though he immediately was sent to jail, everyone in that meeting went through the Bible. They looked at the Bible. They were careful about what the Bible said. And they realized that the whole Bible speaks of Jesus as God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is fully God. And why is that important to us? Well, just think, if Jesus was anything less than fully God, he wouldn't have been able to forgive our sins like God can. If Jesus was anything less than fully God, he would be wrong to accept all our songs about him, all our prayers to him, all our worship of him, because only that kind of singing and receiving prayers and worship belongs to God. And if Jesus was anything less than fully God, he wouldn't be able to care for us or comfort us or keep us, or encourage us, because only God can do these things. And if Jesus was anything less than fully God, then we would be worshipping a person who cannot truly comfort us in our sufferings, because actually, he's only suffered as a being, not on behalf of God. So the baby Jesus in that manger, to put it bluntly, rocked godness. And we can never forget what that means for us. It means we have a mighty Savior who reveals to us who God is. As I said a couple of nights ago, the guessing games about God can stop. Because if you want to know who God is, you look at the person of Jesus. Nowhere else. You look at the person of Jesus. Because he tells us God is knowable. Mary tells us that, doesn't she? Oh, in her arms are the very Son of God, God the Son. And she knew him. Joseph knew that. The wise men from afar knew that. They said, where is he? So we can worship him. And they saw him and they knew him. His disciples knew that. And people today who trust him and love him know that because he's so knowable, so personable. And we can know him too. And we're going to turn to pray now, to pray for our world, to pray for individuals, to pray as a church family, because actually what the person who brings us together here this morning is the person of Jesus. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father God, we thank you again once more for this wonderful day. A day where we can celebrate togetherness. The day where we can celebrate the fullness of Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray for this world. Lord, in many places, this Christmas has come as a shock. We think particularly of Indonesia with the tsunami there a couple of days ago. We think, Father God, for those who are living in fear of Mount Etna exploding. We think, Lord God, for those who are in countries that are at war. We think of those who are in poverty caused by other people's greed. Father God, we recognize this morning that this world needs to know about the love of God. This world needs to know about Jesus' triumph over our sin. This world needs to know what it means to have Jesus and the fullness of Jesus in us. And Father God, we look at our nation. Lord, we pray for our political leaders. And we pray for our spiritual leaders. Lord God, may you continue to reveal who you are through your Son, Jesus Christ. May you use your spiritual leaders to share Jesus and to help them see that we can only point to Jesus. We pray for aid organizations and churches everywhere who help the poor and the needy and the lonely at this time. Lord, may you give them strength. May you give them joy. May you help them to serve and serve and serve. And we pray, Lord God, most of all at this time, that the good news of Jesus would be clearly preached. That we wouldn't get distracted by stuff, but we would see Jesus. And Lord God, we pray for our church. Lord, we pray for the bereaved, for those who are spending Christmas for the first time without a loved one. We pray for the hurting, Father God, those who are confused or broken by other people's brokenness. We pray for those who are struggling with mental illness. We pray for those whose marriages are in difficulty. Lord God, we ask that you would bring your healing truth to those situations. May the truth of Jesus' fullness speak into those lives. And may you comfort and care for them. But Father God, the biggest thing we want to say to you is thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was so fully God. Thank you that because of him we can have peace with you. And through him, because we know him, we can know the love of God personally. And he teaches us how to fight our sin and know his love instead. Lord God, in the midst of the busyness that's about to hit us, may we celebrate Jesus this Christmas. May we know Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen.